One of the most common questions I get asked is, do you have any tips for business women? Problem is, that's such a broad question. It's like asking a mechanic, do you have any advice for fixing cars? They've built an entire career and it took a long time for them to gain all of that expertise. So it's hard to impart anything useful quickly. So let's talk it out. I'm Mazda Miles and this is Restrooms and Boardrooms. Hey guys, welcome to episode 6 of Restrooms and Boardrooms, the podcast that informs and inspires women with a little pep talk and some girl talk for those bent on running shit in business, entrepreneurship, leadership, culture, and life. I have my boardroom directors here with me as always. You know I have the man with the plan, Dion Ringo.
Hello everybody and good morning.
Good morning. It's morning for us. And this week, filling in as both audio engineer and behind the scenes handling video, the multi-talented Brian Kilpatrick.
And the crowd goes wild.
Thanks for tuning in. As always, we're bringing the heat and the sauce. Please make sure you have a little notebook maybe handy because I'm planning to give you some tidbits that you can really apply to your business and to your life. This week, we'll be talking about pricing. Then we'll chat about the return of the Popeye's chicken sandwich.
Dun, 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 dun.
In our boss move or soft move segment. And finally, at the end, I'll discuss something that I just have to be honest about. So if y'all are ready, we are going to get into it. As you all should know by now, I recommend you start every single day with a pep talk to yourself, with yourself, for yourself, to get your mind right. We as women spend so much time giving to other people that we sometimes forget to give back to ourselves, or we focus so much on others that we don't focus and give enough attention to ourselves, and I am on a mission to change that. So I'm reminding you this week and every week to pay yourself first. If you fill your cup, then you can have something to quench the thirst of others without depleting your own supply. So I'm going to start this pep talk, as always, kind of welcome you into my world, let you know what's been going on with me this week. So this week I spent some time with a client negotiating pricing for our next engagement. And as always, when you're negotiating a deal, there's like a certain balance of your fear of potentially losing the deal, but also making sure that it's profitable and fair for yourself. You don't want to push so hard that they're like, I'm out. I don't want to deal with you anymore because you tried to push me so hard. At the same time, you want to be proud of what you ended up with at the end. You want to make sure that it makes sense for you. Of course, because I'm a boss, I did negotiate an appropriate fee for myself, and it ended up also being a multi-year deal, so that's dope. But I definitely had to do some internal pep talking with myself along the way, and I realized that this is a pep talk that I give myself kind of often because I'm always working on deals, and I thought I'd share it with you all. So it goes a little something like this. All right, girl, it's game time. Remember that requesting things before the contract is signed is negotiating, but asking after the contract is signed is begging. You're no beggar. You don't have to be. You're worth every single penny you require and more. So hold your head up, walk into this meeting knowing they need what you have and you have what they need. And if they aren't willing to pay, you can be on your way. This is chess, not checkers, and you are the queen.
Whew. All those quotables in there. Thanks for all those tweetable moments.
A lot of people don't know the queen is the most powerful.
Come on, talk about it. You know, see that when you listen to this podcast, you get more than just pep talks. You get a little bit of everything. I'm with it.
Yes. So we're gonna get into our topic of the day, which is pricing your products and services. Some fresh ideas for pricing your products and services. I don't know if they're necessarily fresh. They're not necessarily new. To me, they're standard, but it's information a lot of people don't have. Yeah. I get asked, this is like a hot topic for me as a mentor. I get asked about pricing all the time, and rightfully so.
So before we get into it, and I notice it's funny because, you know, I always do this to Mazda, always try to get her to be transparent and share something that she probably do not want to share, but probably should share. So I'm going to ask you, you got to tell us about a time where you kind of, you was sharing with us right before that you kind of know you messed up And that's not the word Mazda used, okay, but she messed up. She freaked up some pricing, and she knew it almost immediately.
So he's going to put this on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, this is going on wax. Yeah, it's going on wax. Okay.
So, and I won't say that it was that long ago. I just want people to know that, like, being real, I haven't, quote unquote, like, people to be like, oh, you made it.
Yeah.
No, I'm still making it. Yeah. And by still making it, I still make mistakes. Mm. That's what that means. You're still making it. You're still making mistakes.
Tweetable.
So, on pricing, a couple years ago, I was going out for this particular contract, new business, new potential, you know, client, and I worked on the bid, I worked on the proposal and everything, and when I sent it in, they literally said yes, I think about as quickly as I could send on the email. It was like, yes, when can we sign? And I was like, oh, shit. Like, I was like, I clearly overpriced myself because they are too excited.
Yeah.
They are way too excited to get me to sign. Like, the contract was in my email.
The billboard went up like 3 seconds later.
So, again, this is why pricing is so important, because a lot of times you're not getting what you're worth. You're not getting the value out of it. You're not even getting market value. No one can pay you what you're worth. We all know that.
Sure.
But you should at least get the value of your time and the market value from it. And if we're not pricing correctly, we can't.
I know you hate follow-up questions, but I have one now because it just piqued me.
All right.
If you had to put a dollar amount on there, how much would you say you potentially lost on
there? Oh, I left like probably 10 grand on there. I probably left like 10 grand on ticket.
Sheesh.
Legit. And it was, you know, I didn't do my homework.
Yeah.
I didn't do my homework. This is a little bit of a different situation.
Mm-hmm.
I had that happen early in my career when I didn't do my homework either. But this situation was me going into another market.
Mm.
So I didn't know what that market commanded.
Yeah.
I, you know, the client was based in another market. I put it like that.
Got it.
To protect the innocent.
Sure.
And that market price is much higher. And so while I did tack on a little bit, I realized that it was not nearly enough. And because I'm actually based in Philadelphia, I should have.
Right.
Because I had legitimate reason to, because I have expenses traveling to that client, you know, the whole, all of that. But just that, if I lived in that market,
yeah,
I probably
it'd be different.
Would have charged
like
10 grand more.
So right.
That was a costly. Costly. And you know what the other thing is? Now that you asked that follow-up question, I have to say this. You will find, and all my mentees have told me the same, and all my colleagues and all my peers, when you underprice yourself, those are always the clients that get more out of you than the people that paid you fairly. Like, you get stuck twice for that.
Wow.
You're like, I left 10 grand on the table, and you made me do like 30 grand for work because of how annoying you were as a client. It's just Murphy's Law.
Right.
So it's a little more incentive for me to not underprice.
Which is why this topic is so hot for you.
It is. So as I said a week or two ago, if you're not paying yourself yet, you know, you don't have a business, you have a hobby. And I also want to submit to you that lots of people aren't paying themselves yet because they can't, because they don't understand their pricing structure. Their pricing structure is not in a place where they can. Like, it's set up so they're not profitable enough to pay themselves. Then you have other folks who think they're paying themselves, but they're not. And they aren't, because once you calculate your time and your expenses and your materials required to produce their product or service, at the end of the day, like, you're working for a dollar an hour. Like, they don't have, they think they're paying themselves, but I'm like, but you put 70 hours into that? And you made $70. So can we do this math? I'm making, you know, I'm like, but you're not.
Right.
You don't even sleep at night trying to run this business, and it's not even paying your bills.
Yeah.
So if you know your numbers, you can avoid all that. So I'm going to dig into pricing and hopefully help someone get more profitable or become profitable through this. I'm hoping you'll have a little bit of a notebook. I'm going to try to go as deep as I can on this with my limited time. it's a topic I know I'll probably do. DM and I have been talking about a masterclass.
Yeah,
I probably
have
to do that as a masterclass because...
But this is kind of like a money topic, to be honest. They're like, dude, we could really kind of, So this is going to help you get your coin. Like, this is getting more coin. Because what you just said, I just realized, like, that's a big part of it. I don't think people understand when they're thinking about pricing, how to make sure you do put in the value for yourself to not just the value of the project, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. And all right. So this is the money one. Let's go.
This is the money. All right. So first question. This is the question people ask. How do I decide how much I should charge for my product or my service? I would say, if you can, start with, what are my competitors charging? This is just a starting point for the for comparison, right? And for you at the end of the exercise to kind of figure out, like, once I've done the work, what are other people charging? So I know if I'm in the range, right? Then the next thing is, how much of my time does it cost me?
Yeah.
You need to know the value of your time or what you need to live comfortably to measure this. Like, you need to have an idea in order to measure this. And then, how much of my materials does it cost me? These are your expenses that are directly related to the product or service. If you make cakes, then it's the flour, the oil, the sugar, right? If you're a photographer, it's the cost of your Photoshop subscription. It's the direct cost to you doing this particular thing. The reason I ordered it that particular way, is because, like I said, first of all, I want you to think about, you know, what are other people doing so you have understanding of market value. Mm-hmm. The second piece that I talked about in terms of how much of your time, the reason I put that second, not last, is because that's the piece everybody forgets. Everybody counts the material. They do not count their time. So I want that high on your list. The next thing is, how much is your time? And then, you know, third, of course, the materials. So here's an example of how it played out for me. I'm going to give you an example from real life early in my business. How much are my competitors charging? I had no idea. I really had no idea. So I had no answer for that. But that was the first question I asked myself. The second was around the value of my time. I had recently left a corporate job where I was making about $96,000 a year. So that divided in 12 is $8,000 a month. So the value of my time to me, knowing that I could go get a job and I could make this money was $8,000 a month. That's what I needed to live or that's what I wanted to live. And it's okay to price according to what you want. Again, let me dispel this myth that being in business means you have to struggle or you have to, you know, lower your costs and your value just to get something. It's okay to price according to the lifestyle you expect to lead based on what you know you can command. Now, don't be crazy. I said I was making about 96. I'm not going to start my pricing model based on $350,000 a year because I couldn't go and make that money.
But so you're also not going to base it on $30,000 either.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And then the third piece was, what are my direct costs? So at that time, I had like some diagram software, a few other things that were necessary to serve my clients, which was low, but let's say it was $1,000 a month at that time. So this first gig came my way. I had to figure out blindly how to price it. And here's how I did it. The event, I said to myself, this event is going to occur in 3 months. I'm going to have to work on this over the next 3 months. It's going to probably take me 10 hours a week, or 25% of my time in month one. 25% of my $8,000 monthly is $2,000. Mm-hmm. Those of you with a notebook, follow me. It will take me about 20 hours a week, or 50% of my time in month two. 50% of my $8,000 is $4,000. Mm-hmm. It will take me 100% of my time in month three. So that's easy. 100% of $8,000 is $8,000. So my time alone spent for the project was costing me, and I'm using this term because I need people to stop thinking it's arbitrary, it's costing me $14,000 to do this. Doing the same exercise with my materials, those numbers were $250, $500, and $1,000. So my direct costs associated with the project was $1,750. So this project costs me $15,750 to do. It costs me that in my time and materials. Dig this. There's no profit yet, y'all. I haven't even talked about profit. People think profit's in that. Profit is not in that. My time is not profit. That's what it costs me. My materials are not profit. So then let's add a profit margin on top of that, because a good standard in business is about 35% profit margin. That's fair. That's a good standard. Then for a healthy business, that'd be about $5,500. So if I add that profit to the cost, we end up with $21,250. Now I know my range. If I do it at cost, and sometimes I have done projects at cost, it's a good opportunity for me. It's a client I want to work for, you know, work with. I want to build a relationship. So, you know, I know that I can charge them anywhere between that 15,000, you know, that I had and that 21,000. That's my range. The deep thing is, we often talk ourselves out of requiring what to do to us. When I did some intel on what my competitors were charging, I was right on the money. So that's why I say, then you go to your competitors. When I had an opportunity, I had a colleague, shout out to Kate Stockton. She's one of my dear friends who helped me grow up in the industry. And when I started my business, pushed me and is in the same, you know, field as me. When I talked to her about certain things, she's like, Like she, you know, I asked her, what would you want for this? And she gave me the number and I was like, oh, I was on the money.
Right.
So it taught me that I wasn't wrong to demand these numbers, right? If I was left to my own devices, truth be told, I probably would have done that same work that others were doing for $20,000 to $25,000. I'm going to tell you, for real, early in business, I would have probably been like, oh, you should give me like $7,500. Like, I would have easily felt like that was the most money ever. Like, I got $7,000. Right. Like, I would have thought that was the most money ever. And a lot of people are doing that to themselves. Yeah. They're undercutting themselves. So that's one scenario. Now I want to bring it to numbers that someone with a product of any kind would wonder about, because I think it's really important that I not only talk about services but products, mm-hmm. right? So now I'm going to say someone with a product that is you are selling these clutch, handmade, one of a kind clutch purses. Okay, that's the scenario. How much are my competitors charging? That's usually easy. Say $25. Okay, that just really literally came out of my head, and I want to say this because I said $25 before I did the math. Okay, before I wrote this up, I actually said $25. So, what's the value of my time? So, let's say if you know that you can command a salary, I'm going to bring this one down of about $35,000 based on your skills and experience. So, in round numbers, that's maybe like $3,000 a month. What are the direct costs? The materials, supplies for an entire batch of bags, maybe like $500 for you, and that batch can make 50 bags. So that's $10 a bag. Over the month, you're gonna make 50 bags. That labor will take you about 10 hours a week, 25% of your time. So that's $750 or $15 per bag. That's how much it costs you to make the bags. If I did the same exercise with the materials, it cost me $500 for these 50 bags. So my direct costs are $10 per bag. So this product costs me $25 to make it. Here's the deal. Very often, I would look at what my competitors were doing, and I'd be like, $25. They charge $25, I'm charging $25. That's what it is. But you haven't made any profit yet. And we're scared to add the profit because we don't want to now be not competitive. Mm-hmm. But again, realize you're one of a kind. I always say, can't nobody beat me being me.
Yeah.
You can't beat me being me. So there's nobody that can beat you at providing that one of a kind, that personal, that design, that product. If they want it, if you have something that people want, they'll pay the extra whatever profit it is. So whether that's $5, whatever that percentage is, you know what I mean? Above it, you have to add that profit on top of it. And the reason is that if you don't factor profit into your process, you will never be able to scale your business. You will only be able to run your business. If you can only run your business and not scale your business, you will be in the same place forever. You will wonder why my lifestyle is not getting better, why I can't do more for my family, why I don't have the freedoms that I want, because you can't scale your business. You're just running your business. So I know that's a lot of math and a lot of numbers, but that's what it takes to grow your business. You have to know your numbers. This is the part that is not fun. This is the part that people don't get up and smile about. This is not the part people say, I love being an entrepreneur because I get to do a lot of math and calculate profitability. No, said no one ever. They love being an entrepreneur for the freedom and the fun and the creativity and being able to do what you love. Right. But guess what? All of that is for naught if you can't care for yourself, your family, and secure your future. There are people out here that are making millions of dollars, millions, and don't know their numbers. They don't know where the money's going. I actually talked to someone the other week, which, you know, again, I'll keep the whole scenario somewhat confidential, but literally there was a situation where they were like, we're making so much money, but now I want to start hiring people and doing things, and I don't know where the money is. Like, we're making so much, but we're not keeping it. And because they don't know where it is, and they don't know their numbers, and they don't know actually what the expense and profit to loss situation is, they're just in this hamster wheel, right? Of we're making millions, but at the end of the day, on December 31st, they can't tell you what those millions are. So that is, you know, I just wanted to give this information so some folks can take some time, think through kind of their pricing structure. Those that are starting businesses need this. I get this a lot when I'm starting, when people are starting. I know people who are in business now that don't want to take the time to do the numbers. And I know for a fact that they're likely not making any money. Love them, support them. But it's not right now something viable for them to be able to leave their job and support their family because they never figured out how to make it profitable.
Yeah, I think I want some of that. And what's so cool, because, you know, we see talking heads on Instagram all day long. I never hear them talk about this. Like, none of them. And I'm not going to mention names, but some of them, even the ones that cuss a lot, you never hear him talking about this. He cuss a lot, but you never hear him talk about this. And I think that's really dope. I think this is really good for people to hear. It was good for me to hear. I'm just sitting here soaking in and like, oh man, that makes a lot of sense. So that's really dope. So if you guys want to have more questions, you can email us at hello@mazdamiles.com. Make sure you send in those questions, and it could get answered on the pod, similar to the one we're about to do. So I don't have who the person is from. Maybe they'll remain anonymous. You want to? I'm going to read what they said, but who's the person?
The person is Janae Robinson.
Shout out, Janae, if you're listening, which I know you are. Yes. Shout out. This is your question. And so make sure you get your question in. You can DM us. You can email us at hello@mazdamiles.com.
And I have to say that her business is Marsh and Make.
What up?
Listen, this is one of my mentees. Oh, yeah. And a little sister to me, so I can't be in my podcast. Mention her name, and I say that her business
You want to give what her location is? Yeah, absolutely. Shout out.
Absolutely. Marsh and Maine at 4th and South, which is a natural hair and lifestyle, like boutique experience. It's basically an oasis for black women, natural women, to go in and get our beauty supply things that we need in an environment that welcomes us, loves us, and respects us.
Yeah, and I'm a sucker for aesthetics. That place is beautiful. Yeah, it's beautiful. And it's on South Street, so yeah, shout out to her. All right, so the question is, I listened to your podcast about firing yourself. My question is, what if you know you need to fire yourself but don't have the resources to hire someone else? Do you have any tips or advice? Great question.
All right. Great question, Jen. So my answer to that is that, yes, early in business, you often are not going to have the resources to hire a full-time person or to hire the things that you need. But I think that you can be really thoughtful and creative about ways that you can get those resources in other ways. Like, meaning, how much does it really cost to have whatever the resource it is that you need? Can the person work part-time? Can they work virtually? Is there a service? Like, for instance, if I know that I'm pretty good. I told you guys my story about being administrative, right? So if I would have tried, at this point, I have an administrative person. She makes a nice salary that I could not have afforded 10 years ago. Mm. But what I could afford was a virtual service that cost me $150 a month. Sure. That I could afford, right? So finding that creative way to figure out another way to do it. I'd also say, like, think about services outside of that. Like, you know, if I'm pretty... Dion, I'll say, is pretty nifty at graphic design, right? He doesn't have to be dangerous, right? Yeah. But if that was something that was overwhelming him and he couldn't afford the $125 to whatever it is an hour that designers are charging now, he could go on Fiverr, right? So there are options, and I just want us to start to be creative when you think about this question in other options that you can look at to potentially fulfill on a part-time or virtual or service-based basis what you need until such time that you can afford to hire the staff.
That's good stuff. So as you guys know, we're going to move into our next segment, the boss move or soft move segment. Let's get into it. So, to the relief of many, not me, I think this is crazy, but we have to talk about it. Popeye's chicken sandwich has returned. There's lines, there's Instagram lives, people are losing their minds.
I got a text about this yesterday.
It's crazy.
Like, do you think I'm in the house? You think I should leave the house? Is it worth it?
Right.
It was funny. It was in a group text.
Wow.
And I said, I've heard that it's good, but not worth you leaving your house on a Sunday afternoon when you are relaxing.
Right.
And another friend of ours came in and was like, I just had one. It was gooder than the mug. Like, I don't know what you ended up doing, but there were varying opinions.
Listen. So it's a lot going on. The social media memes have returned in full effect like nothing else. So... the interesting thing about all this story is not even the long lines or the Instagram lobbying or any of that. It's that they released it, the return of the sandwich, on a Sunday. Do you know why?
I know why.
Mm-hmm. So is it a boss move or soft move to return the Popeye chicken sandwich on the day that your competitor does not open? Everybody knows Chick-fil-A is not open on Sunday. I wish we could put this on a visual. It says, y'all, it's Sunday. So this is what Popeye's puts on their Twitter, and it's the picture of the chicken sandwich. It returns on Sunday. Oh. Boss move or soft move?
That's a total boss. I'm sorry. I gotta because much to their chagrin, I was talking mad smack about them for running out and not being prepared and not realizing like how great it would be. So I feel like they felt like they had to come correct coming out the gate. Like they had to get that, you know, that leg up. Yeah. I think it was a boss move from a marketing perspective.
I think it's a soft move.
Why?
It's a soft move. Let me hear, it's a soft move. Yeah, why? If you why? Really are that and a bag of spicy chicken sandwiches, you will open up on a day that Chick-fil-A is open and be your competitor instead of having to open on a day where you know your competitor is not open. It's a soft move.
Do not agree because we're talking business sense here.
Yeah.
Anything over my competitor, I'm
going to take it.
Period. With a T at the end.
Oh, no. But that, it was a little strategic to do it on a Sunday.
It was strategic. Like, you know.
But this sandwich better be everything. I'm not waiting in no line for an hour to get it though. But yeah, welcome back. Popeye's chicken sandwich is back and it's here to stay apparently. So go figure.
Yeah, I'm down with the boss move. So now we're gonna get into the If I'm Honest segment.
Signature segment. Nobody else has this segment. This is Mazda's signature segment. Just putting that out there. So you need to stay through the duration to hear this. Every episode.
He's always bumping me up. That's all right. So this week, we're talking about Meghan Markle. She actually has a lawsuit pending against the Daily Mail, a UK tabloid, for their constant attacks against her. Mm-hmm. And in an interview, she was asked how she's doing, and she kind of teared up because she was like, no one has asked me how I'm doing, you know, along this line. And we know there's a history there, you know, with her husband's mom and how that all ended. And so it's important, like mental health and everything that she's going through and how she's, you know, how everything's affecting her is important, but people are not really thinking of that when they're coming, trying to cover or create some story that is or is not true, is or is not, you know, accurate or whatever. So if I'm honest, it is overwhelming sometimes to be a black woman in this world. You know, whether you're a celeb or not, in America or any other country, whether you voice it or not, whether you say it or not, whether you let people know how you feel or not. And I stan Meghan for saying she's not interested in just surviving, but also thriving in this role. Like, you're not going to kick me out of it. I'm not just going to make it through it. You know, I'm actually going to thrive in this role and I'm going to voice what I need to and I'm going to fight back and I'm going to stand for myself. You know, this week, this was kind of touched my heart, you know, because this week on two different occasions, I experienced microaggressions that reminded me that no matter how much I excel and succeed, I am still a black woman in America. It was deep. I mean, on one occasion, I had someone white woman, I was working with her on the stage and she asked me, did she need to, you know, she asked me about the microphone. Like, do I give this, you know, back to you? Do I need to give it back to this other person? And I was like, no, I can take it. Mind you, I'm the MC. I'm literally the mistress of ceremonies. Mm. I'm literally the person managing and overseeing the stage, right? And I'm like, no, I can take it. And that wasn't the microaggression. She kind of looks at me up and down as if I'm not authorized to have this microphone. And then I see her walk around the corner and she's pointing at me to the person that she felt she should make, to the man that she felt, okay, she should have been giving this back to, and was saying, I just want you to know I gave it to her.
Wow.
And I was just like, wow. That, like, I was like, wow. Like, I was like, it made me feel like, so I'm not human. I'm not worthy. I'm not, like, it's a microphone.
Yeah.
You know, and then on another occasion, I was at this party, this reception, a sponsored reception, and me and the person I was with, it kind of popped around the corner where they had a seated area. It was very crowded. And we popped around there. It was quiet. They had like a little kitchenette. Mm-hmm. And we're sitting there. And a man walks back. And he's like, are you guys okay back here? And I'm like, yeah, we're fine. You know, is everything okay? Are you okay? Yeah, well, this is my office. So, and I was just like, wow. And the demeaning tone and the way that he was, you know, approaching me, almost like you're not authorized to do things. You're not authorized to be here. And it's I know it's probably hard to explain for others that don't experience this, but the whole idea of people treating you like you're not supposed to be there, which is exactly what Meghan's going through. Yeah. You're not supposed to be here. You're a black woman. You're not supposed to be here. You're not supposed to have this authority, this clout, this whatever. And so I'm going to question it. And I'm going to question question you publicly. Yeah. And I'm going to try to demean you. On both occasions, I was being questioned publicly as if I wasn't authorized to be there. So that was my if I'm honest moment, is that if I'm honest, listen, it's rough out here sometimes. That's why I am consistently pep talking myself and creating pep rallies for others. Mm,
absolutely. Absolutely.
So that is our time for today. Thank you for joining me on the podcast. I hope you feel empowered and know that those pep talks in the restrooms do make you money in the boardrooms. Remember, you can join in the conversation like our questioner did earlier. I don't know if that's a word, but I'm going to use it.
We're going to use it.
You can join the conversation by sending me an email at hello@mazdamiles.com. Your question or feedback just might be featured on the next pod. If you have not already subscribed, make sure you hit that subscribe button now so you can get the notification when the next podcast drops. Also, make sure you're following me on socials, because we're going to keep on having the conversation on social as well. I'm Mazda Miles on Instagram and Twitter. Another shout out to my dope team, my boardroom directors. Thank you, Dion.
Gang, gang. You guys can find me, D.Ringle, Instagram and Club Magazine. Mazda, you're amazing. Great
Thank
show.
Thank you. So appreciative of Brian, who's doing a dual world role today. Shout out his
2023-20. I got it. 20. We'll edit that out. Don't worry.
2320 Media.
2320 Media.
So I appreciate you. Alrighty. Until next time, shout out to all my bosses. Have a good one.